research, Mona Crewell. She is a senior lecturer in comparative politics with a specialisation in the study of elections, political parties, public opinion from Victoria University down in Pōnekea. We welcome Mona Crewell. She joins us now. Me tuku mihi ki a koe. Mona, thanks very much for speaking with me. I'm Claudette Hawiti. Thanks for joining us this morning on Te Reo Irirangi o Wāte. Tēnā koe.
Morena, Claudette.
Comparative, if you can just give us a clarification on comparative politics, what's that?
So mostly I do not only look at one country, I compare countries. So I also look abroad. So apart from New Zealand, I also study Europe a lot, and not only New Zealand election. I study German elections a lot. I look at US elections. So basically, comparative politics means you go beyond the national context and compare countries.
Right. Thank you so very much for that. So in terms of what you have just said, and in comparison to, say, the United States, are some of our parties using some of the strategies, the techniques that we saw perhaps the US use? I'm thinking about Trump, some of the Trumpism, some of the strategies, social media, some of the narratives being used by some of our parties here, political parties here, to encourage some of those smaller fringe groups to and attract them to support them.
You are actually hitting at something here. So this is a long-standing debate in political communication research, if other countries are Americanizing their campaigns. Overall, we have to say this is mostly not the case for most parties. First of all, it's pretty difficult to transfer elements from campaigns overseas into another political cultural context. So what the parties are mostly doing when they try to transfer campaign elements is they are shopping. Some scholars have even said like it's a shopping light, because a lot of things you need to adapt to the context in which you are campaigning. So it's not that easy to transfer stuff over. But of course, if they look at other countries and they get impressed by certain things, when it comes to disinformation, so some of the strategies you have been hinting at, New Zealand is still doing pretty well in international comparison. So the quality of the democratic discourse on social media is pretty high. Most of the parties are not using fake news as a strategy of political campaigning. This is very limited to certain fringe parties, and they do use strategies that we see overseas. So the fringe parties, for them, we find fake news in New Zealand. We also do see the kind of right-wing exclusionary European populism very much correlated with these fake news. So that means that this is very anti-establishment. It is going against government a lot. They claim that we are the people and that they are standing by the side of the people. And they usually also try to name kind of dangerous others in their posts. So it's this exclusionary right-wing populism that we do see co-occur with a lot of the posts that come from the fringe parties and that we would classify as fake news. So there is a little bit of copying strategies from overseas, but it overall, when you look at the across all parties, it is not that much. The parliamentary parties mostly refrain from that.
I guess the major parties refrain from that. That's what you had said. Oh, I just want to pick up on that point, because Māori would see it very differently. So when it comes to fake news, as an example, when we look at the Indigenous context, the misuse, how Māori would term the misuse of te tiriti or waitangi, the misuse of issues around co-governance, as an example, was Three Waters. That was muddied, co-governance muddied the actual intent of Three Waters. So we've been placed, particularly in this election, Māori have been placed in a framework or in a context of negativity, which we would then perceive to be fake news, misinformation around our aspirations, and that's been used by some of our, you know, they're major political parties, but they're small in number. I mean New Zealand First and ACT is that not a New Zealand context and an Indigenous context when it comes to misinformation, fake news?
So I think it always depends on, first of all, how you define fake news. For us, these are kinds of intentionally and verifiably false stories that have been completely made up. What we also code, I have to say, is half-truth. So for us, the parties are often fly under the radar of full-fledged fake news, so it's not a fully made-up story. There are a lot of correct facts, but there's sometimes something that is dodgy. And for that, we, for example, also catch the established parties that we see half-truth for them and using them now and then. If you in particularly speak about the Indigenous context, I would distinguish two concepts here, fake news and negative campaigning. And I think it's actually more negative campaigning. And of that, of course, we have measured a lot. We do see the established parties going negative. So we actually do see, in particular, the National Party running a very fierce attack campaign. And I think what we see in the Indigenous context is mostly deserves to be called negative campaigning. But we are very restrictive on what we call fake news, because this is a pretty harsh accusation. And we have always kind of valued the concept and acknowledged the concept of freedom of speech. So we mostly give parties the point of having different political opinions in the democratic discourse. But a lot of what I think you are aiming at, I would call negative campaigning against other parties. And we, for example, see with National, who are they attacking with negative campaigning? This is mostly the Labour Party and Chris Hipkins. But a lot also goes against the potential coalition partners of a Labour Party, which could be the Green Party and Te Pāti Māori, who gets also attacked by them a lot.
Yes, very good. So in terms of fake news, that can be verified as to whether it is false or whether it is truth. So that's quantifiable. You can check, double check, fact check.
What we actually do, to explain that, it's not that I'm claiming that I know what the truth is. I have 9 coders, student assistants, who are doing that, and they actually do fact-checking. So they really go and say, like, are these numbers correct that they are reporting here in that post, or is this not correct? So to give you an example of half-truth, the ACT Party had a post where they were claiming no communist countries like Lithuania would be richer than New Zealand. So my coders actually really checked that. First of all, they were reporting an indicator for labor productivity and not for wealth. And also in the ranking of the wealthiest countries, New Zealand is still far ahead of Lithuania. So they really go and check that stuff. And then we basically
What about fact-checking stuff like, and again, coming out from New Zealand First and ACT, where they say that co-governance is a Māori takeover. You could do the same comparisons as the comparisons with Lithuania to show that co-governance wouldn't actually be a Māori takeover, because economically and socially we're in deficit, so it can't be a takeover. Those kinds of things can be fact-checked, can't they?
Yes,
they can actually then be classified as fake news.
So in that case, that would be an exaggeration, of course, that kind of statement. So that would have been something that we would have classified as a half-truth, because there might be a lot of other facts in such a post that are correct. So we would not have said this is full-fledged fake news. Well, it's not a fully made-up story, conspiracy-like. Like if other parties state stuff like, to give you another example, the Litterbox hoax that goes against transgender people when they say that schools would have litter boxes. That's kind of completely made up. In the co-governance point, you can say this is an absolute exaggeration. But of course, they are in a certain way entitled to their opinion to how much this would lead. So this is something we would probably have coded only as a half-truth if it would have been in our sample. I have to say our sample is limited to the party pages.
And can I also go then to the negative campaigning then, which again affects Māori exponentially? Negative campaigning, we would term, we the the phrase we're hearing and we're using is race baiting. What is the difference between race baiting, negative campaigning? That's one and the same thing, because we have had allegations against some the parties for race baiting, race narrative, dog whistling. Can that be quantified? Is that why is that a, for some parties, a necessary part of campaigning?
Between the two big parties, I would say it's a necessary part of campaigning that, for example, National as the challenger party criticizes the Labour Party for what they have done in government. That's part of their job description. So that's the necessary part. On the other hand, when we come to the race-based stuff, this is surely not necessary. Things that we also measure, I haven't looked at the extent yet of that, is concepts like hate speech. So I think this is a very important thing to measure, but must be seen separately from that. And negativity, yes, we do find that. And we also find that the ACT party currently is very much campaigning on domestic issues. That is in particular the treaty that they are campaigning on. And a lot of these posts had a certain race-based touch to it. So there is a lot of negative campaigning against Māori associated to those kind of posts.
And do you know then how that correlates to the negative campaigning, how that correlates to the number of people that will come to the polls to actually vote?
This is a really good point, because for a long time, political communication research believed that there is something like the demobilization hypothesis, that this would demobilize people. Overall, research has been inconclusive on that. Some studies could confirm the demobilization hypothesis, others could not. Overall, a meta-analysis of that whole research field has shown that the demobilization hypothesis can probably not be confirmed. So there is less evidence for it being demobilizing. But a very important research in that respect comes from the US, where we see if basically negative ads outweigh positive ads, then this can have a demobilizing effect. So the net amount of negativity and positivity is what matters. And there currently we do see more positive posts than we see negative posts across all parties. So we are still kind of...
What do you mean negative polls versus positive polls? What do you mean by that?
So if you basically subtract the negative posts from the positive posts, you get the net positivity. And so there,
you know, how are you quantifying that though? Or how do you construct that? Because that is not the sense we feel within Te Ao Māori and Te Ao Pacifica. So we would get a sense then from that kōrero that the construct or the methodology that's been used is not, is an international, you know, international comparative studies, New Zealand-based comparative studies, but there is no Indigenous perspective or context to this. So we would refute some of that from an Indigenous perspective.
So first of all, how negative and positive are measured. So for us, basically, a post can include negative and positive statements, or it can be either neutral. So a post contains negative statements when it's aiming at critically representing the political opponent, when it involves all forms of attacks against the political opponent. Negative campaigning also criticizes socially relevant topics, uses stereotypical traits or highlights shortcomings, as well as criticizes and attacks qualities and behavior of parties, politicians, and related issues, as well as exaggerations and evoking negative emotions such as fear, envy, blame, or anger. We count as negative campaigning. Mm. On the other hand, positive statements for us is when this is supporting, encouraging, affirmative, beneficial. And the code, as always, code is zero, basically for negative campaigning if it's not there, and the one if it's there. That's how we quantify it in the end. Same for the positive posts. And then you can subtract one from the other. I do totally give you the point that it's difficult to transfer those kind of results. But in certain contexts, it of course can be demobilizing for you. This also depends very much on the characteristics of the individual. That can be, for example, that you are married.
Look, this is fantastic, and I'd love to keep talking to you about this, but I didn't realise we've got somebody else coming onto the line. Just really quickly,
Yeah.
Which party is running the worst campaign, the most negative campaign?
So I've not looked at all parties overall already. I can tell you something that you might be interested in 2020 and in 2023, the Māori Party has been running pretty positive campaigns of positive self-representation. When we compare Labour and National, what I've done this week in my analysis, then we actually see the National Party running a much more negative campaign than the Labour Party. But of course, the Labour Party is an incumbent and the National Party is a challenger. So I would have been surprised to find any other pattern, I have to say.
Thank you so very much for speaking with us, Mona. Wonderful to cordial with you. All the very best.